Thank you. It's funny. When we were looking at the preaching roster, I saw that Light was coming up and I was like, I want to do Light. And then I saw it was on January 18th and I was like, yes, I had to preach on my birthday. I'm actually super excited about that. I'm crazy like that. But yeah, anyhow, it's been awesome. Lately, we've been looking at the Word of God and been looking at the declaration of Jesus and who he's saying he is. And last week we heard about how Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And I loved it. We sang that song, You're More Than Enough. Because that was the main kind of takeaway from that God is more than enough. He is more than enough to satisfy our needs. And before that, we looked at how God said, pretty much he says, I am God. He doesn't pretty much say it. He says, I am God. Before Abraham was, I am. And as we unravel the I am statements, we're revealed more and more and more the character and nature of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have a bit of a challenge for us tonight. I remember Stephen Jeffs, he shared a while ago, and he asked this question before he shared. He said, what if God was going to speak to you tonight? Do you believe that God is going to speak to you tonight? He said, what if you knew that God was about to speak to you about something in your life? He asked, would you listen differently? Would you maybe sit differently? Would you approach it differently? And I want to ask you that same question tonight, because I believe that God is going to speak to you. I run a life group and I encourage the young guys, each and every single time we open this word, we open the Bible, that we expect God to speak to us. He's not a God who's hiding in the distance. He's actually wanting to make his home in our hearts. And the Word of God tells us, it says, I've given you the Word and it's going to be a lamp unto your feet. It's going to guide you in your life. It's going to show you where to go. And I can honestly stand here. I open this Word and God speaks to me every single time because he is faithful. It may not be what I want to hear. It may not be, but God is faithful to speak to us. So I love to pray and I love to invite God to speak to our hearts tonight, to really speak to us individually as the Holy Spirit does. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you didn't leave us without guidance, Lord. You didn't lead us without your word, Lord. You gave us a declaration, Lord, of your character, and you gave us a declaration of who you are. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, Father. Not through my words, Lord, but through your Holy Spirit, Father, you would speak to your kids. Guide us, Father, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen. Let's get into it. So we're at the next I am statement of Jesus. And it's really cool. It occurs in John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus is hanging out with some people, and he kind of just abruptly says this. He says, hey, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. He says this to this crowd of people that are around him. He says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus makes this crazy statement, I am the light of the world. And you might be thinking, Daniel, that's not too crazy. It is crazy. Let's have a look at why this is such a huge statement that Jesus is making here. Let's look at what the Bible actually teaches us and shows us about light. So we're going to dig into the word tonight. The first thing that I was, when I kind of started studying this, is I'd heard somewhere that God said, or in the Bible that it said that God is light. And I went to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. And here we say John, he's writing about God. And he says, all right, do you want me to tell you about God? God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. This is something you can trust about the character and nature of God, that he is light. There is no darkness in God at all. It's funny because sometimes we read the Bible and we think we see some really tough passages, hey? I'll be honest with you, I see some really tough passages sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, how did that happen? Like, what was going on there? But see, the thing is that I'm reading it through the reflection or the eyes of my justice. I'm not reading it through the eyes of God's justice. But I love it that we can come to this verse and it says, God is light. There's no darkness in him. There's no darkness in God at all because the Word of God tells us that God is light. So that's the first thing I want to look at, that God, His very nature, is light. God is light, and then there is no darkness in Him at all. The next thing, and we're going to go to the very beginning of the Bible where we start to see this declaration of light, and it is beautiful, in the story of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this, kind of picture this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. It was completely void. It was completely empty. And darkness was over the face of the deep. There's just darkness everywhere. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." How awesome is that? God sees darkness, and what is His reaction to that? I'm going to illuminate that darkness. I'm going to pierce that darkness with the most beautiful thing ever. And from that light, God's just like, I get a little bit physical and kind of picture in my mind what's going on. I don't know, maybe, I hope I'm not blasphemous right now, but I picture God just like hovering over this darkness, and He's just like, and like out of Him just beams the most brilliant, the most beautiful light that anyone had ever seen. And then from that, we see Him creating from that, because God is light. When I was reading this, my mind was absolutely blown. It does not say God created light. I was taught as a youngster, you know, on the first day of creation, God created light. But no, God is light. He speaks it out of Himself. He speaks it out of His being. And then from that light, the Word of God says that in Him and through Him was everything made that was made. You're not just made by God. You're made through God. The outworking of God has made you. The outworking of His light. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. 1 Timothy 6:16 teaches us that God dwells in unapproachable light. It says He dwells in this light that's just unapproachable. The very being of God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. Revelation 21. Wrap your heads around this one. Revelation 21, verse 22. This is speaking about the end. And John says this. He says, "I saw no temple in this city." How cool is that? He's like, there's no temple because the temple is God. The place of worship is God. The temple is the Lord Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, because the glory of God gives it light, and the light of His Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there, because God, there is no darkness in God. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. God's nature is light. God's character is light. Throughout the Bible, I feel like God's like, okay, hey, you guys want to know more about me? Let me take you on a journey. Let me take you on a journey. Let me start to reveal my presence. Let me start to give you little bits of glimpses of my light. Let me show you what my light is there for. And we see in Exodus 13, that God says that the light of God will lead us. There's this really cool story where, has anyone seen Exodus in the movie? Anybody? Okay, so one part that they did miss out that I was pretty spewing about was when they were all running towards the Red Sea. And it didn't actually have this bit, but in the Bible, it shows us that God was guiding them. And He was leading them with His light. It said that by the day, there was this cloud, that God led them by this cloud. And then at nighttime, this cloud turned into fire, and it led them at nighttime, because God's like, man, I don't want to leave my children without the light. I want to guide my children. And it said that that cloud never left them, because God leads us with His light. The other thing that's really cool that God does with His light is He transforms us. God transforms us with His light. The light of God transforms us. In Exodus 33, there's this moment where Moses is kind of chatting with God. And he says, okay, God, I want you to show me your presence. Can you show me your presence? I want to experience your presence. And God says, okay, I'll do that for you. I'll show you all of my glory, but one thing, you will not see my face, because you will not see my face and continue to live. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to see the face of God. I can't imagine, but we ourselves cannot see that right now. But what he says is, he says, I will show you my glory. And so it's recorded in Exodus that Moses goes up into this mountain and he's hanging out with God. And have a look at this in Exodus 34, when he comes back down from the mountain. This is so cool. He comes back down from the mountain in chapter 34, and it says that he was carrying the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. He was carrying the law. And he came down from the mountain, and Moses didn't know it yet, that the skin of his face was shining because he had been talking with God. How cool is that? When we hang out with God, when we experience the presence of God, the skin of this guy's face was shining. His physical body was actually being transformed right before the Israelites. And the Israelites look at it and they're absolutely terrified, because they're going, what is going on? Like, what's going on? They're scared of this presence. They're scared of this transformation. And if you continue to read through that, we see that that transformation fades. We see that the glory that Moses had experienced when he was in the presence of God, it begins to fade. It begins to fade away from his face. Because that was an outward physical transformation. But guys, when we are in the presence of God, when we are in the presence of the Lord, when we are reading the Word of God, when we are dwelling in the Holy Spirit, our insides, there is internal transformation in our life that will never fade. I love it. The Bible says, you know what? God's going to take us from glory into glory. He's going to reveal more and more and more and more of His presence in our life. It is not going to be a fading presence. That's why we're talking about why us in Romans. It says that we might become transformed, that we might be transformed to the likeness of Christ. How crazy is that? That God is seriously, we're at this kind of like area in our life, and He's like, all right, Daniel, I'm going to make you more like me. I'm going to make you more like me. I'm going to make you more like me. I'm going to use that to make you more like me. How awesome is that? And there will be one day when we will be like Christ. There is coming a day. The Bible tells us it's coming. How awesome is that? The light of God transforms His children. The next thing is, the light of God saves. The light of God saves. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, it says, I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God says that this is about his son that's coming, the Messiah that's coming. You will be a light to the nations. And that salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. The light of God saves. I love it because John, the very beginning of John, the gospel. Anyone encouraged by that when they read that very first chapter? I was reading it on the way down to Ross and Amy's wedding. And I was just like, wow, how amazing is this? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it keeps talking about these things about God. And then it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And it says there that the darkness has not overcome it. I love that, that the Bible does not say, hey, once upon a time, light shined in the darkness. It does not say that. It says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will never overcome it, because the light of God cannot be extinguished. The light of God cannot be extinguished. It shines in the darkness. It shines today in the darkness. I love that John writes and he says it's going to keep shining, because it's the light of Christ. It's the light of life. And then we read down and it says, and their Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And then if you fast forward a few chapters, you see Jesus say, that light that guided you, that light that transformed you, that light that saves you, I am the light of the world. He comes to this statement, he says, that was me, that was me, that was me, that was me, it's me now. And he says, I want to be the light of the world. It's funny, I Googled light of the world Jesus on Google. And it's pretty interesting, the pictures that come up. They're usually like some sort of, you know, lighthouse. And that so underestimates Jesus being the light of the world. Jesus is so much bigger than just a lighthouse. He's the light of the world. He's not just the light of a location. He is the light of the world, and he wants to be the light of your life. See, the Jewish leaders, they were okay. They were okay with God being the light. They agreed with that. They said, yeah, God is light. Of course he's light. In him is no darkness at all. And they were like, yeah, God led us through the wilderness. That's awesome. God led us with his light. God did these things. God transformed Moses. Yes, we agree with that. But don't you dare tell me, Jesus, that you're going to be the light of my life. Because I'm okay with you being the light up there and, you know, the creator and all that stuff. But don't you mess around with my life. I'm not okay with that. And see, Jesus wasn't there to just let that be. Jesus said, I'm here to be the light of men. I'm here to bring them to that point where they do allow me to explore their life. They do allow me to expose darkness in their life. Because what do we see in the very beginning? God's character is to expose darkness. His character is to pierce darkness like he did in the very beginning. And I started kind of asking myself why. Why did God go through all this effort? Why did God show us character of his light and all these things? I'm going to read a verse that we've read, you've probably heard hundreds of times. But I really want this to sink into our hearts. Same book in John, a little bit later after he says that God is light. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because they did not believe in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. Hear this, that light has come into the world. Light has come into the world. But it says here in the Bible, it says light has come into the world, and the people loved their darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not want to come to the light, lest his works are exposed. Hear that, guys? Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Let me expose the darkness. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that Adam and Eve believed that they could hide from me. Don't believe that. What did Adam and Eve do the moment they sinned? They went and hid themselves from God because they believed in their ignorance and their arrogance that they could. But guys, God pierces the darkness with his light. I love the Message translation of that last bit. It says this, and this is the crisis that we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for darkness. They went for darkness because they weren't interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil is addicted to denial and illusion. Now hear those words, denial. Denial of darkness, but then also illusion. Illusion that maybe if this darkness is revealed, then I'm just done. Everything's going to fall apart. And they believe these lies. They believe these illusions. And it said, then they hate God light and they won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. What I'd love to do tonight is I'd love to look at two different stories in the Bible of how God did expose people's darkness and what was their response to it. And when we do this, I'd encourage you to ask, God, what is my response to your light? Because this is not an easy message to preach. As I was preparing for this message, God so clearly, I'm reading through all this stuff, I'm reading these verses, and he's so clearly putting something on my life. He's so clearly saying, Daniel, I want that. Daniel, I want that. Daniel, I want to illuminate that darkness. And I kept going, but God, no, like, that's too far. Like, that's too far. You can't go there. That's going to mess everything up. And God, I felt like he was saying, do you care more about your life being messed up, or do you care more about continuing to walk in darkness? Do you want to get to 40, 50, 60 years old and still be walking in that darkness? Or do you want to make a decision here and say, it ends here, God, expose me? That is the power of the gospel. It is not this thing where we go, God, that's too hard. God, that's going to wreck everything. Don't worry about that. Come and rest at the mercy of Jesus. I love it. I was just reading in Samuel. And David, he sins. He does it. He blows it. And God says, okay, you have three choices. You can either fall into the hands of the enemies. And he said something else. And then he said, or you can fall into my hands. And David said, God, I know you are a merciful God. Do not let me fall into the hands of the enemies, for I will be overcome. But God, I know that you are a merciful God. I choose to fall into your hands because I know you are full of mercy. David said that before Jesus Christ had gone to the cross, and God still then was a merciful God. Friends, I'm begging you, do not walk out of here today going, God, no, you're not allowed in that darkness, for you will walk in darkness if you do that. But Jesus says, man, I'm the light of the world. You follow me, you're never going to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in freedom. The first story we'll look at is in Mark chapter 10. It's a story about a young man. The Bible calls him a rich young man. And it says here that as Jesus was on his journey, this young man ran up to him. You see this eager in this young man, this eagerness. And he knelt before Jesus. And he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Said, what must I do? You know who I am, probably even. People around here know who I am. The Bible calls him the rich young man. And he says, good teacher, what should I do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to make sure that my place is secure? And I love it that Jesus didn't answer that question like John 3:16 said. Jesus didn't say, oh, you know what? Simply just believe in me. Because I believe that Jesus knew this man's heart. And he knew that that answer was not enough for this man. He wanted this man to know that Jesus knew him, that Jesus knew his heart, and Jesus knew what was going on. And he knew he was taking him to this point of decision where this man had to decide, am I going to lay it all down? Am I going to follow Christ? Am I going to allow Jesus to be the light of my life? Am I going to allow him to pierce darkness? Or am I going to choose no? And I love this. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one's good except God. And then Jesus lists off these commandments. And the guy goes, man, I've kept those since I was young. Like, I'm sweet. I'm fine. And then look at these next words. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus, the Bible does not say Jesus looked at him and was like, I'm going to make this really, really hard for you. I'm going to shame you. It does not say that. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And said, man, you are so not in freedom. See, the biggest lie that we can ever believe from the devil is that we live in freedom in our sin. We live in freedom in it. No, we don't. We live in freedom only when we hand that over to Christ. We are bound. Tim looked at it in the very beginning. He said, they go, we're not slaves. Jesus is like, yes, you are. You are slaves. Come to me. My burden is light. He loved him, and he said, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I don't reckon this guy heard anything after Jesus said, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. I reckon that's when his ears shut off. He didn't hear the next line, and you will have treasure in heaven. He didn't hear that, I don't reckon. And I don't know if he heard, come and follow me. I reckon it was like, hey, I'm not doing that, mate. I'm not selling everything I have. I've worked hard for that. And it's not about Jesus taking the possessions. It's not. Jesus so clearly says, mate, you're going to have so much treasure in heaven. Jesus knew the condition of this man's heart, and he knew this man was not free. And why does it say the next line? It says, the man, because he had many possessions, he went away sorrowful. We don't see this guy going, fine then, I'll just take my money and go. We don't. This man knew he was enslaved. This man knew that he was trapped. This man knew that he was enslaved to the possessions. This man knew that was his idol. And he walks away sad because he knows that he's chosen that above Jesus. He knows that he's chosen that above eternal life. Jesus just told him. He came with the question, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, this is what you got to do. And he walked away sad because he could not do that. The next example, we've just actually read it. It's in John chapter 4. This is such an amazing story. So cool. John chapter 4, Jesus is hanging out with the woman, the Samaritan woman. Give you a bit of a background here. This woman was known in her town. She was known in her town, and we know that because she comes out to get water at the heat of the day. Like, I mean, come on, how hot was it today? Yeah. It would have been hotter, I reckon, in Israel, in Samaria. And she's coming out there in the heat of the day, and she's going to draw water. She's driven out of her town. She probably could have done that in her town, but she goes out of her town, and she's drawing water there. And it says that Jesus comes up to her and has this awesome conversation. And Ryan talked a bit about it last week. Said, anyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again. And she goes, oh, give me that water. I want to drink. I want to taste that. I don't want to keep coming to this well. This is silly if I don't need to. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and tell him to come here. Go call your husband and tell him to come here. And the woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. See, I reckon there, if Jesus wasn't Jesus, he would have been like, oh, okay, sweet. But Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus is like, I'm not letting this moment go to let this woman know that I know her. I love that what Tim was saying before. When God speaks, it is to let us know that he knows us. It is not to shame us. It is to let us know that he knows our sin. He knows our weaknesses. And here he says, woman, you've answered right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you are living with now is not your husband. What you said is true. I don't believe there's any shame in what Jesus said to this woman. Because later on we see this woman, she goes and she leaves this place and she runs into the town. And look at this in chapter 4, verse 29. She says this, she runs into this town. And she says, come and see a man that has told me everything I've ever done. Come and see a man that's told me everything that I've ever done. And you know, this is interesting because I reckon the people in the town knew what she did. They knew what she did. They knew that she had, you know, five husbands and the guy she was living with then wasn't her husband. But yet there's this boldness that this woman has. And she runs, I reckon she's running into the town just going, come and see this one that's told me everything I've ever done. And I believe there's some sort of joy all over her face that she's not running in shame. And she says, come and see this man. Can this be the Christ? Can this be the one we've heard about? I love that, that this woman is known and she is loved. God has exposed the sin in her life just like he did the rich young ruler. But this woman makes a different decision. She makes a different decision and she says, hey, I'm going to tell everyone about this guy. I'm going to tell everyone about him. And we see here that then the town comes to him. And it says a bit further down in verse 39 that many Samaritans from this town, listen to this, believed in him. Why? Because he was a good guy? No. Believed in him because of the woman's testimony that he told me everything I've ever done. That is why they believed, because they saw this boldness. I believe they saw this forgiveness. And they're like, what? How is she so happy? This Jesus, this Messiah, this teacher of the law loves her? And she comes and she runs and she says, come and see this man. And the Bible tells us that from her weakness, that many were actually known to be believers. How amazing is that? when God pierces the darkness, when we allow God's light to pierce our darkness, we become a mirror of Christ. We become a mirror of Christ. We become a signpost to Jesus Christ. And I love it. You read, keep reading. And it said, so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And many, many, many more believed because of this. If you're looking at John, I was looking at it, and this is the first time it says that many, 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 many believed. And this is the first time that it was because of a woman's testimony. God is shining a light in our life, not to shame us, but so that we can be the light of Christ, so that your friends can look at you and see the reflection of Jesus. But if we choose, like the rich young ruler, to go, no, God, you can't have that area. That's too dark. That's too shameful. Don't bring that up. Then our friends won't ever encounter Jesus. They'll encounter religious people. So these guys hang out with Jesus, and then they say this. It's no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know. I want to add a whole bunch of no's to that. We know that we know that we know that we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. That moment would not have happened if that woman did not allow Jesus to shine his light in her life. Sometimes we're okay with God being this big God, but God, don't inspect me. That's too hard. Only when we do allow God to shine his light in our life will we have freedom and will we have joy. I love that story. God wants to shine his light in our life. He wants to give us freedom. He wants to give us joy. Craig, are you still around? No? Yep. Can we finish with that Relent song? I just want to leave you guys with a few verses. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus is knocking at your heart. He says this. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will come into him. He doesn't just say, I'm going to hang out with you. He says, I'm going to enter you. I'm going to come into you. I'm going to make my home in your heart. And he said, if anyone opens that, I'll come into him and I'll eat with him. And he with me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 and 6. Says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. Has shone in our hearts and gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It says, let light shine in our hearts that we might know the glory of God. We've been talking about why us, Romans 8:29, that we might be transformed to the likeness of Christ. Just a little few verses later, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, God's making his appeal for humanity through you. It says here that we might be ambassadors of Christ and that God might make his appeal through us. And Paul begs, he says, I beg you, be reconciled to Jesus. Come to this point where you allow Jesus to be the light of your life. Come to this point where you allow Jesus to change you and transform you and lead you and guide you and save you. Come to this point, I beg you, because God is making his appeal for mankind through you, just like God made his appeal for mankind through that woman in Samaria. He is making his appeal for mankind through you. I love us to stand together. There's something I want you to hear before we go to worship, before we start singing. There's this verse in James, and I love this verse. I'm going to actually go there. It's so full on, but it's so good. believe it's James. Listen to this. Listen to this. If there's anyone here who needs to hear this, I pray that you would. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. We do not pray for one another. We do not confess our sins to one another for shame or for condemnation. We do it, the Word of God says, that you might be healed, that you might not continue to walk in darkness. And I know that there are young people here tonight and you're walking in darkness and you're saying, I would never confess that to anyone. You will continue to walk in darkness. Jesus says, I want to expose that, bring it into the light. Find someone that you trust, find someone that you know, find someone that you believe will pray for you, that you will be healed from that darkness. Allow God's light to pierce your darkness. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. God, I thank you that your word takes us to the point of decision. And God, I thank you that it is your goodness and your kindness, Father, that leads us to repentance. And God, I pray that you would examine your children, you would examine your kids, Father, and see if there be any wickedness within us. That God, you might shine your light on that, Father, and be glorified, and allow us to walk in your freedom. Amen.